RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're worldwide on the free Odyssey app, and we are the home of the Richmond Flying Squirrels riding a one-game heater into tonight's game at the Diamond. Can't break up the Flying Squirrels, man. We're back. Worst start in franchise history. Best attended April in franchise history. Let's keep one of those trends going, but maybe reverse the other one a little bit. See if we get a little weekend. And this is an extra special weekend for me because they're playing the baby Yankees. And I hate any level of Yankee. It's not just the big league team. If you're a baby Yank, hatred equally strong over here.
I know the rules have changed, but were any of the feeding systems of the Yankees, were they allowed to have facial hair?
That's a great question. I would assume it's organization-wide because those guys are at spring training with the big league team.
You've got to be ready to move up.
Sure,
but
if you're doing spring training with the big league team, there's no way they're letting you be scruffy at spring training.
Like even single A?
Even single A. If you're in the organization, there are expectations of you.
Imagine you are single. You're not making enough money to that be your job.
Yeah.
You have a whole other life. No one knows you.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to have a beard.
That's tough. All to be a part of the single A Yankees farm team. But the rules have changed. The rules have changed. It's a different time, different era in America. All right. I want to play the Mark Zuckerberg clip. Loneliness. It's a problem in America. I get that. I think we all understand that. It's harder than ever to get out to meet people, to do things. Mark Zuckerberg, he's the CEO, leader, I don't know, of Facebook. He's in charge.
Meta. These days.
Thank you. Meta. He has solved that. He wants you to have AI friends now. They're developing their AI to be your friend. But wait, don't yell, that's a stupid idea. Let's hear him out.
I think as the personalization loop kicks in and the AI just starts to get to know you better and better, I think that will just be really compelling. You know, one thing just from working on social media for a long time is there's the stat that I always think is crazy. The average American, I think, has, I think it's fewer than three friends. Three people that they'd consider friends. And the average person has demand for meaningfully more. I think it's like 15 friends or something, right? I guess there's probably some point where you're like, all right, I'm just too busy. I can't deal with more people. But the average person wants more connectivity, a connection than they have. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that people ask of stuff like, okay, is this going to replace kind of in-person connections or real-life connections? And my default is that the answer to that is probably no. I think it you know, I think that there are all these things that are better about kind of physical connections when you can have them, but the reality is that people just don't have the connection and they feel more alone a lot of the time than they would like. So I think that a lot of these things that today there might be a little bit of a stigma around, I would guess that over time we will find the vocabulary as a society to be able to articulate why that is valuable and why the people who are doing these things are like, why they are rational for doing it and like, and how it is adding value for their lives. But also I think that the field is very early. So, I mean, it's like, I think, you know, there are a handful of companies and stuff who are doing virtual therapist and, you know, there's like virtual girlfriend type stuff, but it's very early.
It's Mark Zuckerberg.
There's a lot to pull out of that.
There's just so much going
on
there.
Is the mean number of friends three, or is it the median?
Mean, median, and mode, you remember from our math time.
This is important because as some, maybe I'm a bit loose with the term friend.
Sure.
But I think if I were to really sit down and count, it'd be around 50.
The per like the, he messed up the stat. Per the Pew Research Center, 53% of adults have between one and four close friends.
Okay, close friends.
While 38% have five or more.
Okay.
Because close friends.
Because there's a lot of people I call my friend.
If somebody was doing a survey like, MP, who are your friends? I would say your name. I'd be like, Stub.
I'd be safe, yeah.
Stub's my friend. If somebody said, who are your close friends? I would not say that Stub is my close friend.
Oh,
I don't feel like we've crossed into that. Would you say I'm your close friend? Uh-oh. Uh-oh. We have issues
here.
Oh,
I just... Okay. Uh-oh. I mean, I guess...
I'm counting that as like roommate-style friend, almost. Like,
sure.
Close friend.
Like, yeah. See weekly? Talk to weekly?
No. Like, text daily.
Text
like,
daily.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, see multiple times a week outside of work environments. Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't... Absolutely. I think this is a person you get coffee with weekly...
Yeah.
Outside of work environment, that's a close friend.
That's a close friend. That's where I think I'm in this group. I think I have between one and four close friends.
I would put I'm in the 5+.
You're in the 5+ close friends. I don't feel like he...
You're not missing anything?
He extrapolated close friends to be like friends, period.
I think a big difference is that, one, you have a wife and children and I do not.
That's fair.
And that is a time sink.
That's a game changer. Yeah. But also, that time sink doesn't make me want to say, it's 10:30 at night, everybody's down, let me go chat with a bot for a while.
My AI girlfriend, too. Well, that was a little sting at the end.
Thank you for going there, because that was a heck of a casual drop there at the end. It was like, oh, okay, this is a little crazy, but I'll hear you out. And then we have the very casual... You'll have a virtual therapist.
No.
Weird, but okay, like, you know, if you could put proper guardrails and training, like a virtual therapist, I think there's probably defensible applications for virtual therapists.
Are we talking AI therapist?
Yes.
No. Absolutely not. That's the worst idea I've ever heard.
It's not a good idea. It's an exponentially better idea than his next idea.
I don't know. I honestly I would chalk AI therapist in the category of potentially harmful.
Yes, no question.
Potentially, like that.
But I would chalk AI girlfriends in the category of definitively harmful to society. Wouldn't you?
I am more on an AI therapist okay. than I am on an AI girlfriend.
I'm 100% out on both.
Oh, me too. But it's like...
We ended up in quite the hypothetical dispute here. Absolutely.
Like, genuinely worried about the concept of someone I interact with in my day-to-day life.
That's fair.
Getting therapy from a robot.
Yeah.
Than I am that they talk to a fake girl.
The Wall Street Journal reported that it's testing of the new Meta chatbot technology. I'm sure you're waiting for the great news here. It's actually not great news,
Stubb.
are willing to engage in sexual banter even with users who identified themselves as teens. It felt like the little sneak in at the end there may have been more than just the little sneak in there at the end.
I don't like that at all.
We have a problem. We don't have enough friends. I have a solution. Spend more time on Facebook. That's not the answer.
I'm sick of it. I'm sick of opening every tweet and then the first seven replies being at Grok. Is this true?
Yes.
It's making me angry.
Yes.
I'm getting more mad every time. Why do you all have to ask? Does he not respond? I don't know how it works. I always see that Grok, is this true? And then I don't see a reply and I don't understand how this works.
They're all in this game where, like, Zuckerberg logged on one day and was like, everybody's talking to Grok. Like, I got to do one better.
Well, the thing is, you open Twitter and it's a robot posting something and then 18 robots replying. And it's like, what am I even, why am I here?
Twitter's just robots having conversations with robots.
It is.
It's fully robotized. We've outsourced our work of arguing on Twitter with people to robots.
Yes.
they just bicker at each other all day now.
And now I have to talk to my AI Facebook friend to get a new level of social connection, I guess.
I'll say it. I don't like it. I'm going to say it. I don't like it. I'm sticking with AM radio, Stubb. That's my game plan.
Yeah, listen to Michael Phillips, 10 to noon, Monday through Friday, instead. That's a real friend.
It is great to be with my close friend, Stubb, today, making radio.
I can't believe we're there now.
Crosstalk with AWOD. On the other side, we'll wrap this thing up, send you off to AWOD Radio, live from Bar West, right after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, at 105.1 FM. On the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app, counting you down to a busy weekend in the world of sports. Here's the other thing I want to do today. You know I love a list. You know I'm a sucker for a list. Lists are cool. We'll get into this with AWOD Tutor and Crosstalk, I'm sure. The Ringer, that's Bill Simmons' publication, has a list of the 100 best sports moments of the century. So this is the year 2000 on. I'm a sucker for a list like this. I love lists.
Sports moments.
So the first thing you've got to define, I think, is, like, this is, to me, American sports moments.
Like Big Four? Or are we going outside of that?
Because if we're saying the biggest sports moment of the century, it's probably some, like, India-Pakistan cricket match. Like, just in terms
some
of...
some life change, yeah.
Right, something like that. You know, if you do Western world, it's probably Messi winning the World Cup, right? I mean, that was a great soccer game that changed the trajectory of soccer. Or I'm trying to think, what's the biggest Premier League thing that's happened?
When
the tiny team, Leicester City, when they won the Premier League, right? It's something like that.
Honestly, right now, you know, Wrexham, 3 straight promotions.
First time ever.
Yeah, the Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney League.
I watched the first season and loved it, and have not watched since. Which doesn't mean I'm out on it. I just have not.
Yeah, you get what you get.
I got Wrexham.
How much more is there?
Wrexham fatigue. Yeah. But I'm amazed, too, because I have a ton of friends who are into this, including a couple who have actually traveled to Wrexham. Which is not like traveling to London, which is doable. It's like
you gotta like get on like a train and then horse-drawn buggy.
It is in the middle of nowhere. It hours and hours from like the nearest big city. Yeah,
right. Okay.
They've quite literally put the town on the map. Awareness of Wrexham is if you were to say name cities in Wales.
That would be the first and only one I could name.
I think if you ask the average American to name a city in Wales, and if they could name one, that's their poll, right?
Wow, good for them.
I would also get Cardiff.
I sure wouldn't.
I'm at two, though.
That's why I'm the trivia host, not the trivia player.
I'm at two. They're putting Wrexham on the map. But that's not That's not greatest sports moments of as voted on by the Ringer.
Before we start, can I ask if Jayden Daniels' Hail Mary is on there?
Jayden Daniels' Hail Mary is not on here, but I agree with that.
Okay, I was just curious.
It's a great play, but it, like, I think all of these are going to represent bigger things. Because I made a mental top five list before I dove in, and I actually got number one exactly correct. So should we just jump straight to that?
I suppose.
That is the David Tyree helmet catch that prevented the New England Patriots from having a perfect season and gave Eli Manning a Super Bowl title. Because that play's got literally everything. A perfect team trying to wrap up something that only one other NFL team has ever done. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, you know, perfect, you know, the main characters here. The scrappy New York Giants, who are the wild card. A guy you've never heard of, David Tyree, the forgotten Manning brother. And he catches the ball on his helmet to keep alive the Giants' win in the Super Bowl. That's everything right there.
That's a pretty good one.
Right? That's everything. I my two and three were both on there, but not in that order. My two and three were the two World Series wins for teams that had not won the World Series. So the Cubs winning the World Series after the rain delay, after the long delay, and the Red Sox finally beating the Yankees, the Curt Schilling bloody sock game. You can't judge that in retrospect of, like, Curt Schilling went kind of crazy afterward. Like, in the moment.
In the moment.
Fully iconic. Yeah. The bloody socks still,
it's
fully,
like,
iconic.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson is one of the best running backs ever.
Period.
You know, that's just a fact.
That is a full-on period statement, absolutely. Reggie Bush won the Heisman. Doesn't matter what else you say. Like, I saw it. I remember watching it with my eyes. That guy was the best player in college football. They gave him the Heisman. I don't care what happened next. He's a Heisman winner. Number two is LeBron James blocking Andre Iguodala in the Warriors-Cavs final, where LeBron finally won a title for Cleveland after the return. I disagree with this one. And it's not my NBA bias. It's that block, which was certainly an iconic moment, happened with 2 minutes left in the game in a tie game. There was a lot of basketball left to play.
That feels like a we want LeBron. That feels like we're trying to put all of LeBron into one moment and put him at number two.
We also need to define sports moments. Is the decision allowed to be a sports moment of the century? Because I think it indisputably is. When he went on TV and said, I'm leaving Cleveland to take my talents to South Beach. That's a sports moment.
I see that, yeah.
That's what a sports moment. Like, I'm taking my talents to South Beach is still, like, you say that line, everybody immediately
if
knows.
We're doing that, then I think the Doncic trade,
right,
hits a top 100 sports moment of the century.
It's in the lower end.
It's in the lower end.
It's in the lower end, for sure. Number three, bloody sock, Curt Schilling. Number four, all right, we're going a little off the board here for number four, but I don't disagree. The 2008 Beijing Olympics 4x100 freestyle men's relay, where Michael Phelps was losing when he got out of the pool. The next guy came in and barely out-touched the French guy to win gold and preserve Michael Phelps's quest for 8 gold medals, the most in a single Olympics. Thrilling moment in sports. It's tough to contextualize swimming among all these other things. It is.
Yeah, I agree, because that's the only swimming most watch.
Yeah, like Katie Ledecky, like, winning by 700 pool lengths. Like, that's a great moment.
Classic.
Where does that contextualize in sports overall? That's tougher. It's tougher to know what the Olympics is, period. Like, Simone Biles dominating. Although, if you were to do sports moments of the century, it's probably Simone Biles not competing in the pandemic Olympics. That's probably the most known Olympic moment of the past 10 years.
I don't know. I disagree with that.
Okay.
I think it would be one of the swimming bits.
I think the Katie Ledecky swimming bit is certainly.
I think more people think about Katie Ledecky. I honestly don't even know what you're talking about the COVID thing. Like, this is a story that
she got the yips and couldn't and had to withdraw from the Olympics.
Okay.
In Tokyo, ish. It was Asia somewhere.
I give more weight to Katie Ledecky winning by 18 pool lengths.
Katie Ledecky rocks. Number five, the kick six, Alabama-Auburn Iron Bowl. Alabama lines up for a game-winning field goal. It falls short. The Auburn kid fields it and runs it back 100 yards for the touchdown. It's a big country. In the Southeast, this is probably number one by a massive margin.
Yeah.
I still think about that play all the time.
I can picture the call in my head. I wasn't there for it.
Oh, my dear Lord. Oh, they're not going to keep them off the field tonight. Yes. And Vern Lundquist on TV.
Auburn's going to win the football game.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Yes. Iconic. And that it came like a week and a half after, or 2 weeks after, the miracle at Jordan-Hare where the pass got tipped on fourth down and kept their season alive there. That they had two of those in the span of a month. It's like, you know, UVA winning the Natty is not going to be on here, obviously, but like winning all three of those games in improbable fashion, just when you stack them, it makes it cooler.
Yeah. But that's not a moment.
Not a moment. But the miracle of Jordan-Hare, I certainly could be. What I remember about that was we were in Philly for a Washington-Philly game. Grant Paulson said, I'm going to take the train in, pick me up, we'll go out to dinner. So I'm at the train station. I'm watching the game on my phone, sitting in my car waiting for the train to get there. The train gets there. It's been an exciting game. There's like a minute left, but like, I'm not going to make Grant sit there in the car and we're going to watch the game on the phone. Like, it's time to go to dinner. So Grant gets in the car. I give him the phone. I tell him, hey, tell me what's going on. You know Grant, he enjoys a good bit. And so he's saying, it's 4th and 20. Auburn's lining up to throw. Oh, my goodness. Oh, he tipped it. And he got. Oh, he's running. And Auburn. Okay, Jeeps. You're not going to get me on that. No, I'm serious. This is incredible. This is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Nice try, Grant. I am not falling for that. You have to see this. You have to stop the car. This is incredible. You have to see this. I'm not stopping the car, Grant. Not stopping the car to look at them throwing an incomplete pass on fourth down. He caught it. Number six, that may be NBA bias again. Ray Allen, three-pointer to beat the Spurs in the 2013 NBA Finals. Good moment. Good sports moment. That was the Heatles. That was LeBron, Dwayne Wade. That was the star-studded team.
I think this is a LeBron thing.
To me, they're framing this in a like a butterfly effect, what if kind of way. Because if LeBron doesn't block the shot, if the Warriors win in the first one that we had, then Kevin Durant can't go to a team that just won back-to-back titles. Like, we all understand that. Like, if the Warriors had just dominated the NBA, Kevin Durant can't be like, yo, I'm going to go join that team. Like, so you've got a butterfly effect and mm-hmm. who wins, you know, blah, blah, blah. Same here. If the LeBron super team doesn't win two of the first three finals they participate in, like, does that bring a premature end to the super team era? Tiger Woods is at number seven, Stubb. We'll wrap it up on Tiger at number seven. Which Tiger Woods moment is at number seven? You got a lot of picks.
I love that you're asking me.
Yeah.
Like, I know one.
I would pick Tiger winning the U.S. Open on one leg as his signature moment. It is not that. It is him winning the Masters at age 43, which is, an incredible sporting achievement. We'll get into Tiger. We'll get into the rest of the list. We got another hour to hang out with you guys. We'll take advantage of it. Back after this, AWOT at noon. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. MP of the mic. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We're always worldwide. The free Odyssey app, that's the one with the rewind button. It's the one at the Apple App Store. And at Google Play. Don't forget about that. Pleased to be with you as we count down these summer months, get back to sports. So we're doing the world-famous reverse countdown. We're starting at one and working the other way. Reflecting on, this is the Ringer's list.
Keeping the tensions high.
Well, the tension gets lower as you go when you do the reverse countdown. I don't think anybody's accused this segment of being spectacularly organized, but
we've done 1 through 7, so I don't see any reason to stop. It'd be weirder if we then went 14 to 8 in this segment, counting down to number 8 would be.
Well, that's what everyone wants to know. That.
Okay, we'll leave you in suspense on number 8. Bill Simmons' website, The Ringer. This is the 100 best sports moments of the century, so defined as starting in the year 2000.
Yeah, not of the last 100 years.
Not of the last 100 years, because hey, we're really opening it up there. This is just since 2000. So really, of the social media internet era. In a lot of ways. All of these moments were documented extensively online.
Or one might say of the 2000s.
Yeah. David Tyree helmet catch was number 1. Kurt Schilling's bloody sock was 3. There were a lot of LeBron moments sprinkled in. Tiger Woods made his first appearance at number 7. Tiger's got to make a lot of appearances on this list. His number 1 moment was him winning the Masters at age 43. I don't disagree with that, but... it's not it for me. It's either the chip in at the early Masters, or for me, it's him winning the U.S. Open on one leg. That said, he's Tiger. He's got a lot of great moments. Number 8, our first soccer moment. I said if this was truly a global thing, this would probably be number 1. Messi wins the World Cup over France. Cements himself as one of the greatest players ever, one of the greatest soccer matches ever played, World Cup, biggest stage, biggest moment. Mbappe, you had all the star power there. That's an easy one. So that's at number 8, because this is an American list, and we're not sure what to do with soccer at the moment. Like, if we do this list 20 years ago, we ignore it, because it's soccer. And if we do this list in another 20 years, it might be number 1, because soccer, it's a major sport. We're in this limbo here. Like, we're just not sure how to treat soccer. We still talk about the big 4 sports. Hockey is not a big 4 sport, and y'all know I love hockey. Soccer is bigger than hockey in America right now, yep. Full stop. If you're talking about a big 4 sports, I think you have to include soccer and not hockey. We have not had a hockey moment yet, so, and we have a soccer moment, which is kind of the proof you need. Also, the hockey moments I'm considering are all Olympic related. We'll see if we get
one,
to our hockey
one
moments.
Soccer creates a 3-letter abbreviation for their league, then I'll allow it.
Well, they have too many leagues is
so
the
that's,
problem.
Yeah.
There's so many leagues. There's, you know, AWOD here comes to say the Champions League, that's the greatest league. But then I also hear that the Premier League's the greatest league. But then I go to London. I watched a game in the Championship, and that sounded pretty good. It turns out that's like the second best league, the Championship.
Yes. all of my knowledge is Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
Related.
And Wrexham.
Yes.
Yeah. The Wrexham clips. I'm kind of happy for Ryan Reynolds. I'm not.
I'm happy for Rob McElhenney.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't care about Ryan Reynolds is doing fine. He has his gin and his cell plan.
I think it's just a real testament to what you can do with a little hard work, a little elbow grease, and a ton of American money.
So much American money. Just.
Number 9, the Cubs win the World Series. We had Red Sox at 3, Cubs at 9. It's tricky because the moment was somewhat anticlimactic, but the Cubs winning the World Series is indisputably one of the sports stories.
Yeah, because it was the bit for a very long time.
Full stop. Yeah, like, it's not a moment, us clowning on the Cubs for 100 years. Mm-hmm. It's more of a long, slow burn. But it's unquestionably, I mean, one of the sports stories the last 25 years. Number 10, Malcolm Butler intercepts Russell Wilson as the Seahawks are 2 yards away from winning the Super Bowl. We talked about with the basketball stuff, so many of those finals moments triggered a cascade of player movement and what-ifs. This is absolutely the what-if moment in football.
This is one on the infamy board.
Sure.
Infamy 100.
Yes. Because if the Patriots finish the perfect season, I don't think we perceive that dynasty a ton differently. And I think we perceive Eli Manning a ton differently either. Like, obviously, he loves having the ring. It's better than not having the ring. But fundamentally, we see Eli as a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, who had a number of memorable seasons with the New York Giants. Like, it doesn't lower him in our
sure.
standing.
Yep.
And we already view the Patriots as the definitive football dynasty of our lifetime. Sure, that's awesome. But there aren't ripple effects out of that. There are major ripple effects out of this one, starting, of course, with Russell Wilson, who now is on his odyssey and is with the Giants now, who's bounced around a little while. You had the tension. Marshawn Lynch, of course, is a main character in that. The Patriots, who win another one and continue their ton of ripple effects out of that one. Number 11. This is Ringer's list of the 100 greatest sports moments of the century. Linsanity. Not a moment. Just this is the first one I'm rejecting flat out. Not a moment. A movement, but not a moment. It lasted like 3 weeks. We all lost our minds. Not a moment.
I agree.
I don't want to talk about Linsanity because it's not a moment. Number 12 becomes number 11 by default. Also, if we're going to do that, set aside however you feel about it when I say the word, but it's Tebow. Tebow was way bigger than Linsanity when that had its moment. Both moments that happened and flamed out. But Tebow's was bigger than Linsanity. Whatever, doesn't count. Moment 12, Falcons lead the Patriots in the Super Bowl 28-3. Yeah, you've got a
Well, now I'm re-questioning what's the one and what's the two on the infamy list.
Oh, my goodness. This, yeah.
You put this over the Seahawks throughout?
Are you ready for my hottest take of the day?
I am.
It's a defensible decision by Pete Carroll to throw the football there. You have two plays.
This is the hottest take of the day.
You have two plays available to you, and you have one timeout available to you. If you run with Marshawn Lynch on your first play and you call timeout, the three-play sequence, mm-hmm. if you run with Marshawn Lynch on the first play and he doesn't get it and you use your timeout, on the second play, you have to pass because you don't have a timeout. So the number of options available to you are cut in half.
But I disagree with this because if you give him the ball twice, he's getting it.
Sure. Counterpoint, he's Marshawn Lynch. Yes, give it to him twice. Don't overthink this. Yeah. That is the correct stance. If I were the coach in that moment, I would have given the ball to Marshawn Lynch. But, like, on paper, the explanation of we had both options available to us, choosing this route cuts half the options available, like, that's a sentence you can read and not be like, you're a dumb idiot. Like, we all know it's the wrong decision, but there's an explanation available that semi makes sense off of that play. 28-3, and you're throwing the football, and Tom Brady's coming back on you, completely indefensible. And has haunted Kyle Shanahan ever since. Then he loses the Super Bowl to the Chiefs with the Niners. The reputation is firmly secure at this point, and it started there. And as good as Tom Brady is, as great as that comeback is, this is all about the Falcons. This is not about the Patriots. And of course, you know, if Dan Quinn has a Super Bowl, he probably gets to stay in Atlanta for longer and attempt to rebuild that. That's a sports moment. I love number 13, Vince Young, Texas, beats USC in the Rose Bowl. Great, great, great sporting moment. Keith Jackson calling that. That's probably a niche one, but I'll take that every day of the week. Great selection there. Ringer's list of the top 100 sports moments of the century. Number 14, Kawhi Leonard with the Raptors. The buzzer beater that like bounces off the rim 9 times and goes in. Are you picturing this one?
Yes.
Yeah, he's squatting down, watching, looking. Not a like massive implications one. Maybe our first true like great highlight on the list. Great sports high. Okay. You mentioned OBJ's catch, which we still haven't seen.
Yes.
Great sports highlight, limited implications. This was in the playoffs and had implications in that sense, but largely is just a great highlight, unquestionably.
Sure.
Yeah. We have our first tennis at 15.
Okay, good.
We don't know what to do with these sports.
Is it a Serena?
It's a Federer-Nadal at the Wimbledon final, and there's certainly no objection there from me. Also, no commentary there from me. It happened. It was cool. If anything I say about tennis would immediately expose me as being way out of my league on commenting on tennis. Number 16, Abby Wambach, header to win the 2011 World Cup. I thought out of the gate, like, oh, well, obviously Brandi Chastain's your soccer moment. That did not happen in the 2000s, though. That is now a dated sports moment.
Not while I was alive.
Not while you were alive. It's Abby Wambach. 17, we're back to Tiger. So Tiger and LeBron now tied with two appearances apiece.
Okay.
This is the chip in at the Masters for Tiger. Number 8, we have a global representation here. Well,
they're not doing bad.
They're not doing bad in terms of...
I agree that...
No hockey moments yet.
If this was across the globe, there'd be at least 3 cricket moments
at
this point.
Of course. Yeah, we don't know what we're talking about.
A crazy wicket.
sticky wicket. So we've had 2 golf. We've had men's soccer, women's soccer. Still no hockey.
We got an Olympics, too.
And an Olympics. And I'm about to have a second Olympics.
Oh.
Still no hockey. That's not great. That's not great for hockey.
Honestly... When was this done? Is Ovi getting $895? Does that retroactively go pretty high?
I don't think so. It is a top 100 moment, but we haven't gotten to any hockey moments. We have 2 definitive have to make the list hockey moments.
Okay.
TJ Oshie beats Russia and Sidney Crosby beats America. In the Olympics. Those have to be on this list. Number 18 is Olympics. Usain Bolt. When he won the Olympic 100 and he's like turning around smiling at the dude in second place, that's an iconic photo.
Yeah,
that's a good one. Number 19, our first Patrick Mahomes moment when they beat the Bills with 13 seconds remaining in the AFC title game. And if you're going to do implications, I think this is a good pick as well.
Is this the first time?
No,
or the second?
No, but this confirmed that the Bills are cursed.
Okay.
When the Bills score to take the lead in the AFC title game with 13 seconds remaining, by all accounts, just need to kick the ball off successfully to win the football game. Do not do that. Give the Chiefs the chance. They get the field goal. They force overtime. They win the game. That confirmed all narratives about
forever
football.
Changing playoff overtime rules.
It also obviously it led to the overtime debate, which continues to this day, and we've had Super Bowl overtime debates as well. Nobody knows what to do with overtime in football. The answer is not college overtime. The answer will never be college overtime. It is gimmicky and it is stupid, especially now that they go to the 2-point conversion shootout. I will stand on that. I'm reading these until we get to a hockey moment. We might be on the air for a while. Aaron Boone, ALCS walk-off against the Red Sox, number 20. Number 21, the Philly special. Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was waiting for that one.
Great, great moment, of course. Number 22, the decision with LeBron, which I said...
You brought that up.
I asked, is it a sports moment? I think if it is, it's got to be higher. That was a cultural moment that people still quote that and reference that back. Number 23, Landon Donovan scores in the World Cup. Number 24, Marshawn Lynch, the Beast Quake, when he ran and the stadium was so loud it actually generated seismic activity. We may never get to break. Number 25, Serena Williams winning the Serena Slam as referenced. Number 26, I love this one, Boise State trick play to beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. That is actually a really good one. Number 27, OBJ catch.
Okay,
there you go. It's on the board for you. 28, Jose Bautista flips his bat after winning the ALDS for the Blue Jays.
MP, I'm starting to get worried.
Me too.
About the state of hockey.
29, Tiger Woods wins the U.S. Open on one leg. Number 30. I would have picked Oshie. That's all right. Sidney Crosby scores the gold medal in overtime against Team USA.
Wow.
Narrowly edging out our first Formula One appearance at number 31. That's where hockey's at. That's where we're at right now. That's not great. We got another half hour with you guys. We'll be back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. 105.1 FM worldwide on the free Odyssey app. What is up, Richmond? Hanging out with Stubb today. Having a little fun, making a little sports talk. We'll get you off to AWOD. At noon, Grant and Danny. After that, Flying Squirrels Baseball all weekend long, all season long, every night, right here on The Fan. The Junkies mentioned this, and it was on my list, so let's start with it. Let's just go big right out of the gate. We're post-draft. We're pre-training camp. We're in the NFL lull, so to speak, here. Where everybody's trying to figure out where everybody else is, where the projections are, what they should be, what's reasonable. And everything I've seen so far has had the Commanders at about the 6th best team in football. And as you know, I think that may be a touch high, but is probably fair relative to what they did last year. And then our guy Rich Eisen yesterday did his power rankings post-draft. He has the Philadelphia Eagles number one, as everybody does, and I think is a very logical choice. He's got the Washington Commanders number two, second best team in all of football. That's two NFC East teams in the top two, which is remarkable in and of itself for one division. That's the Commanders above Lamar and the Ravens, the Chiefs with Mahomes, the Bills with Allen, the Vikings with their loaded roster, J.J. McCarthy, the Lions, who they beat in the playoffs last year, but certainly were a formidable force all season long. That's a statement right there. The Rams, who will be with Matt Stafford, I think will very much be in the mix again next year. So am I. I'm questioning myself now, right? This reminds me a little bit of 2013, coming off of the RG3 season, where the expectations were sky high. I think there's going to be a tiny step back. But what's interesting is I don't think they're the second best team in football. I don't think it's particularly close. I think there's still major weaknesses here. But I understand that it's tough to rank after you get past the Eagles. It really is. I think you've got Eagles, and I think you've got I think you've probably got the Bills. I think the Bills are a really good football team, and I think if ever there was a this is the year, this is the year for the Bills. The Chiefs are finally going to take that step back. The roster decisions are finally catching up to them. AFC is going to be open. If ever there was a year, this is the year of this is the years. I think the Bills are the second best team in football right now. You don't bet against Mahomes, of course, especially if he's playing against the Bills in the playoffs. But 1-53 roster-wise, I think the Bills have the second-best roster in football right now. But the Commanders at number two on Rich Eisen's way too early 2025 NFL power rankings. And I've seen six on most of these, sixth-best team in football. And I think that's a touch high. And by the way, Vegas agrees with me. The over-under for the Commanders this year is 9.5 wins in the 17-game season. You can pick them to win 10 or more or 9 or less is the current line. I actually like the over on that. I do think they will get to double-digit wins. So I'm
love the optimism here.
I'm splitting a very narrow... We're going through a very narrow needle here of I think they will win more than the 9.5 games. But I do not think they are the sixth best team or certainly the second best team in football. I think that's a bit of a disservice to this roster.
Might need a defense.
Traditionally, you need a defense. There were so many... luck evens out over time. And Jaden Daniels is not lucky. Jaden Daniels is good. But there were so many games last year where Jaden Daniels made a heroic play, saved the day, because the other team was unlucky. Because Malik Nabers dropped a pass, because A.J. Brown dropped a pass. He got the opportunity to have those game-changing moments.
So Baker Mayfield botched.
Baker
snap.
Mayfield fumbles the ball. All of a sudden, kaboom. Driving the other way, Jaden Daniels heroics. And that doesn't take anything away from Jaden Daniels, who is as good as advertised. I'm not saying Jaden Daniels is overrated. I'm saying the Commanders are overrated as a team because of that, because of the defense, because of the question marks there. I do think they win 10 games. I think they win double-digit games. 10 games doesn't make you the sixth-best team in football. There's going to be teams that win 10 games that are wild-card teams that are good but not great in the scheme of things. That's where I've got these guys pegged. Vegas, by the way, the four teams with the highest over-under. Their over-under is 11.5 this season. Ravens, Bills, Chiefs, and Eagles. I think you just have to assume the Eagles will keep dominating until further notice. The only team that could stop the Eagles is the Eagles, and they've done it.
They have done it.
They're good at it. I'd take some kind of weird prop bet on the Eagles where they either win the Super Bowl or fire the coach in disgrace in week 12.
With 12 wins.
Undefeated team, firing the coach, whole thing's a dumpster fire. Absolutely. Yeah. It's, I think you have to assume the Eagles are going to continue dominating. Not that they'll win the Super Bowl necessarily. But I also get, you know, Rich Eisen, you got to pick a second best team in the NFC. Who is it? His top 10, so Eagles at 1, Commanders at 2, Ravens, Rams, Chiefs, Bills. The Rams at number 4, bit of a shocker as well. You're raising them up. I get that. They were one snow game away from playing in the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, top 3 NFC quarterback.
It's a top 3 quarterback. I think still a top 3 coach. Like, I think we've kind of slept for a little while on McVay. McVay's still great at what he does.
He's got Puka. He's really good running backs.
I don't know what they're doing at receiver because they're shuffling the deck there. Yeah. But you have to assume they're going to be in a good spot next year. And McVay's going to be coaching them up. I like that Rams pick, especially as, you know, the Niners are always a threat. But are they going to be able to bounce back after that rough year while giving Brock Purdy a big pile of money?
And dropping Debo.
Seems unlikely. Like, you talk about net wins and losses on the roster. They took a step backwards.
Yeah.
This off. And they had to, because they had to free up $60 million to give to Brock Purdy.
Who is okay.
That's the issue. That's the issue. You've correctly identified the issue here. You're paying $60 million. Is he going to give you $60 million of production? My Magic 8-Ball says no, absolutely not.
No.
Vikings and Lions, right? And then the Bears have a good roster if they ever get it together. The Packers certainly have a good roster capable every year. So one of those teams will be in the mix. Tampa's going to win 10 games and be the division winner and host a playoff game. That's what they do. There's talent in the NFC, but it's not like the AFC where you say, like, all right, these teams are the teams that can definitively win the Super Bowl this year. He has the Broncos at number 7. Are you doing a Bo Nix leap forward in year 2?
No.
I think that if I'm going to pick a non-Chiefs AFC West team, I kind of feel like the Chargers in year 2 with Harbaugh and Herbert.
Yeah, they got their running back. I kind of
feel like that's a sleeping giant there.
I don't believe in Justin Herbert postseason.
You don't believe in the Chargers postseason. I mean, there's a rich history of the Chargers postseason collapses. Now, Harbaugh knows what he's doing. Maybe he gets the best out of Herbert. Maybe this is the year. I said last year I didn't think the Chiefs would win the division. They won 15 games. Now, I don't know how they won 15 games.
It was a weird 15.
Nobody knows how they won the 15, but they did. They made it to the Super Bowl.
They call our team lucky.
They were luckier. Yeah, if the Commanders were lucky, the Chiefs were luckier. I'm going to double down on it. It just feels like the horseshoe's going to run out of luck at some point for the Chiefs. So I'm taking the Bills out of the AFC. But the Commanders is the second-best team in football. Rich Eisen on a national
That's
show.
That's crazy.
People are getting their hopes very high. Look at the Bengals last year, who had a fantastic offense, and Joe Burrow had what would have been an MVP caliber season on a contender.
Yeah, the best receiving duo in the NFL.
So good.
Top 5 quarterback.
Yeah, what happened? No defense.
9 wins? 10 wins?
No defense.
Yeah.
They're no defense. Awa and I were arguing about this the other day. He thinks that defense will take a step forward. I just don't see it on paper. I hope I'm wrong. I hope there's some Dan Quinn magic in there. That would be good for everybody. If there's enough Dan Quinn magic to make them the 24th best defense in football, these guys could absolutely be back in the NFC title game. Like, the bar they've got to get to is really, really low here.
I mean, I would say we have a middle-of-the-road secondary, which is a big step forward.
I would not say that, because you're relying on Marshawn Lattimore. And until further notice,
but with
this
Mikey
could go poorly.
And Amos.
But again, rookie corner... You know, I Sanders stills.
Yeah, rookie corner did great last time.
Sanders stills the man. I get that. You're really counting on a second round draft pick to be the man for you this year, because
it's proven that we can.
It's proven they can. It just feels like a lot of eggs in that basket. I love the safety they got from the Lions. He's a hard hitter. Lions and the Saints. I'm okay with not bringing back the guys they didn't bring back. I just. I'm missing the part where they got a lot better. And you put another year on Bobby Wagner. And I am unfair to Bobby Wagner. I'd like to say that on the radio right now. Because he's old, he's going to fall off. He's 34. That's old for a football player. But it's not old. It's not like Tom Brady playing at 42. You know, you're like, how is he doing this? Football players can play at 34. I keep saying he's old. That's a little unfair to him. He just been around a long time. He's part of that Legion of Boom. The expectations are going wild. Commanders number 2 on Rich Eisen's list of the top 10 teams. We'll be with you. We'll be with you all the way. Hope I'm wrong. I was wrong a lot of times last year, starting in Cincinnati. Little Monday night Jaden to Terry connection. Maybe they'll win every game 55-50, which would make this the most fun season in Commanders history. Last year is an absolute contender. This year, they're just kind of doubling down on the formula. It's a great formula as a viewer.
A really good formula.
As a viewer, love the formula. No complaint. Most fun. That's probably another rainy day topic. Best seasons, like most fun seasons in Commanders history. Probably the replacement season is going to float to the top of that list.
With Keanu Reeves?
They made a movie about it. Not that they won't make a Jaden Daniels movie someday, but if they make a movie about your team winning the Super Bowl with replacement players.
That's probably a pretty fun season.
That's probably a pretty fun season. I missed that one, of course. You don't have to miss today's MP on the mic, though. It's a winner. We'll take you up to noon. AWOD Radio takes over then. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM. Happy Friday to you. Friday fun program. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM. We'll dive into the NBA playoffs, NHL as well. Still no schedule for the Caps. We'll get there. All right, since we did NFL rankings, we have the first. This is Bart Torvik. He does college basketball. He's kind of in the Ken Pomeroy realm. Stats, basketball, numbers, things of that nature. He has his first, way too early, A-10 men's basketball rankings for the season. Now, he's got all the teams, all the national teams, like 1 to 300 ranked as well. So I'll tell you where they are in the big picture. But then he's also got the A-10 standings as well. Because we gotta check in on this from time to time. Because otherwise the season's going to start and we're not going to be ready.
I need to know where my team ranked 4 months out of the season.
We can't imagine getting to July and you don't know where your team is in the Torvik rankings. Wouldn't be me.
Where they were in May.
Couldn't be me.
That would be devastating.
You'd have to just hang it up as a fan at that point. You'd have to call it a day. The portal's largely done. Which is insane because it's May and we got the whole offseason still ahead of us here. The portal's largely done. VCU's largely got its team. I think everybody feels... Now, I'm not a portal expert, right? So I'm showing my ignorance here. I'll watch them on the court. I will make up my mind at practices at the Black and Gold game early in the season. And then I'll change my mind as the season goes on, as we did with Jack Clark last year, who, for the first month of the season, couldn't make a shot and then became a very essential piece of an A-10 champion for Ryan Odom's team. Now, Phil Martelli Jr.'s got his team. There's going to be a lot of turnover here. You still have Terrence Hill. You still have Brandon Jennings. Firm's still here. But it's going to be a lot of new names and new faces. They got bigger, which is the thing I keep telling them to do. Was it the Bills GM who everybody quit calling and telling me I have to draft a receiver? I don't have to tell me what to do. I keep telling you, get a big man. You think Phil Martelli doesn't know he needs to get a big man?
Everyone needs a big man.
He doesn't need me telling him he needs a big man every single day of his life. Phil, you need a big man. Get a big man. We did. Keyshawn Mitchell is the big man this year, which is exciting. He's a senior, or he's a junior this year. He's a transfer. Years don't matter anymore. I don't know why we're keeping track of years anymore. If you need another year, just sue and get another year. But Barry Evans, 6'8", he's coming as well. They got bigger, which was obviously one of the knocks against the team the last couple of years. I think the consensus nationally is VCU did very well in the portal. One way to attack it is to get guys who were at
smaller schools on the way up. You know, certainly did that last year. Phil Russell, who had kind of been on the small school circuit. Joe Bamisa, who had been at Oklahoma, was also at G-Dub. But these guys went for Power 5 guys who need some time, who need a little playing time, weren't getting it at their Power 5 schools. I like that, too. That was how Zeb Jackson arrived, and that worked out all right as well. Bart Torvik, way too early, 2025-26, Atlantic 10. Yes, VCU is number one, as you would expect, and as I expect. I'll give you a few guesses, Stubb. I don't think you're going to be able to get number two, even with the hint that I'm giving you, that I don't think you're going to be able to get it. I just think people are sleeping on this team having gotten better. A-10 basketball here.
Let's see. I got to remember
You got to remember the teams, yeah.
I'm going to go with the Richmond Spiders.
Yeah, Richmond's in the middle of the pack. That was a good off-the-radar guess, though.
Thank you.
I commend the guess.
I'm wildly uninformed in this.
George Washington University.
Oh.
Don't call them the Colonials. They're the Revolutionaries. George Washington University is the second best projected team in the A-10 next year. Your next, it kind of falls as expected from there, but people are sleeping. Virginia/DC basketball is so back. G-Dub, obviously, you know, wrong side of the line, but they're right there. It's regional. George Mason, of course, is very good and should be very good, and Tony Skimp's back, and I think he's a perfect coach for that program. So I think good things are happening there. It's VCU, George Washington, St. Louis at three. I will have to spare my St. Louis, because last year I was banging the St. Louis drum repeatedly. And AWOG correctly told me to back off of it. He was right. I was wrong. Josh Schertz, who came over from Indiana State, brought that whole roster, your NIT championship roster, or their second in the NIT, whatever they were in the NIT, brought that roster with him. I thought they'd contend immediately. They had some injuries. I don't make excuses, right? You know that. I don't make excuses.
I know that.
I was wrong. I'll stand on my incorrect St. Louis basketball predictions. I'm not going to come here and make excuses about injuries, which definitely happened and were definitely a factor in the Billiken season. VCU, George Washington, St. Louis, Dayton, of course, at number four. I think we're on is Dayton broken watch, because they entered A-10 play last year as a bona fide tournament team, and now they're wallowing in the middle of the A-10 pack. They melted down hard. Anthony Grant, there's going to be questions around him all year. This is a make or break year. This is a little bit like the Eagles last year. It was like, that's a good team. We all identify that's a good team. Are they going to get their stuff together, or are they not going to get their stuff together? It could go either way. But Dayton's on catastrophe watch.
Catastrophe watch.
Yeah, it's way too early. Way too early, remember. it's way too early catastrophe watch. Another good roster. Another solid team. I'm sure they'll play a great non-conference schedule, as they always do. Sometimes, though, when you have a season that bottoms out like that, it's tough to bounce back from that the next year. It can have lingering. You can have the way too early hangover, as happens as well in college basketball. George Mason picked to be fifth in the Bart Torvik computer generated way too early A-10 men's basketball predictions. There's a gap, by the way, after St. Louis. It's VCU, George Washington, St. Louis, gap, and then you have some teams bunched up here: Dayton, George Mason, Loyola. Assuming Sister Jean's still alive, or maybe, you know, if Sister Jean should pass at some point, I don't think she's going to. She's 105 years old. She's made it this far.
Yeah, I don't think she plans on it.
She's 105. We cannot know the mind of a 105-year-old. I have a friend who says, statistically speaking, any year you're alive, you are likely to make it to the next year, no matter how old you are. There's obviously a point where that's not true.
That was my, yeah.
Yeah, there is an age where that nobody has made it past.
I saw like the oldest person was 116, just passed away the other day.
So that's the number.
Probably wasn't statistically more likely to
make it to 117. Statistically speaking, if you make it to 116, you're not going to make it to 117.
I need all the Loyola stock the year Sister Jean goes, though. Not to be morbid about it, but that's going to be... they will make a Disney movie about that season. I'll tell you that right now.
That's a 30 for 30.
That's a 30 for 30 right there. Bunched up in the middle. Dayton, Mason, Loyola, St. Joseph's, Duquesne, and Richmond. And St. Bonaventure. So they'll sort themselves out, as we always do in A-10 play. And glad Richmond's in that mix. I don't follow the Spiders closely, other than I like Chris Mooney. He's a good dude, and I want that team to be good because it elevates everybody, elevates the city, elevates the basketball love in the city. And then you go down Davidson, Rhode Island, LaSalle, Fordham. Fordham, which started out bad and now has recruiting violations as well, which is the ultimate insult. That's a little bit like the NCAA is like, look, we can't enforce anything anymore. We need a win. What's the cheapest win we could possibly get? Somebody figure out, find me a small school that did something, and we are bringing that hammer down.
Just audit them.
Audit the crap out of Fordham University. We're going to find something. We need a win.
Show me every text message.
We are so tired of losing. Sometimes you just need a win. They found one. They got them. Got them. Fordham University, you're on probation. Double secret probation. Get out of here.
Because Michigan football, I mean, they really... That's not a win for the NCAA. They made it to the end, and now Jim's gone.
I think this started with the North Carolina kids taking fake classes thing. And they had them dead to rights. They proved these North Carolina kids in their paperwork were taking sham classes.
So were they arriving to sham classes, or were they being written down as had been?
Whatever it was, education was not happening.
Okay.
For the North Carolina team. And North Carolina got their best lawyers in the room, got their lawyers sued, said the NCAA does not have authority over the quality of our classes. They only can verify that they exist.
So, okay, I asked this because now I'm picturing their football team going into a room.
Yeah.
Like a college educational room.
Yeah.
And then watching...
Like watching a movie.
Watching a movie.
Yeah, probably something like that. Or like or just not showing up in the room.
Three times a week.
Their argument was essentially, as I understand it, the NCAA can only confirm that classes are happening, not the quality of those classes. And what the lawyers won, and from then on is like everybody's just laughing in the NCAA's face. I mean, what is enforcement? And now Bill Belichick's girlfriend probably teaches a class over there in social media and marketing. She probably does. She's a win-win situation at this point because if he cuts her loose. She's famous enough now. She can have a podcast. She can do the thing.
She can have a podcast.
If it was like a month-long thing, and then Bill cuts her loose, it's a little bit like...
I don't know. It doesn't take a lot to get a podcast these days.
That's correct. MP on the mic. Everywhere you get your podcasts. We're back with more after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan, now 105.1 FM. MP on the mic, 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM, worldwide on the free Odyssey app. It's the first weekend in May. You know what that means. It's time to put on a fancy hat, drink some drinks, watch the horses. Our guy, George Templeton, of course, does the Rams Rewind podcast, but also knows a thing or two about horse racing. So who better to have on right now to break down the racing action, which starts today out in Louisville. George, what's up, dude?
It's good to be talking to you again, Michael Phillips. I'm kind of glad I'm calling you today because everything that I thought about the Derby's kind of been thrown up in the air in the last 24 hours.
Go on. I mean, has everything changed?
Well yes, because rain is coming. And apparently it's a lot of rain is coming, and it might even come towards the end of the Oaks. Towards when they're running the Kentucky Oaks today, which I want to briefly mention if we have the time to, but they're talking about, somebody was saying on the New York Racing Association show I watch on YouTube that there might be 2 inches of rain in Kentucky tomorrow.
Ooh,
at Louisville.
They don't like postponing the Derby. I know that.
No, and that's I mean they got. I mean, you know, as long as it ain't like serious thunderstorms, they'll run that sucker if it's flooded. Just about, you know. They had floods in Arkansas at Oaklawn, and one day later they had the track ready to go and was running again. So Yeah, they're gonna run even if it's a bog out there, and that kind of changes everything. And we also had one of the real big speed horses scratch, and a very interesting horse draw in by the name of Baeza, and that kind of might change the calculus as well. So it's gotten a lot tougher. I had a pretty good idea on the Kentucky Derby and how I was going to go, and it's kind of been thrown up in the air a little bit.
Ooh, we got ourselves a muddy Kentucky Derby potentially, and maybe some rain action today as well. So yes, and
the thing is, last year you had so much rain in places like New York and Louisiana and Arkansas that you had a lot of horses that had run in muddy conditions before. And that's not the case this year nearly as much. You know, there's a few horses that I'm upgrading. Like, one of them is a Japanese horse by the name of Luxor Cafe, who's run three times in the mud and won once and placed the other and placed another time. And then Cole Battle, who's the best story. And if we can get into Cole Battle a little bit, you're a journalist. I used to be a journalist. What do we love? We love the best story. Cole Battle might be the best story out of all of them.
Wait a second. You love journalism. I love journalism. So we're all rooting for... journalism.
Well, we're all rooting for journalism, who's the favorite, and if he likes the mud and he runs his best race, he's better than all these. He's won his last four. He's dominated out in California. He's won from controlling on the front. He's won having to take dirt in his face and being blocked in. He's had troublesome trips, and he still found a way to win. And he's beaten some really good horses. He beat Baeza the last time out at the Santa Anita Derby. But we don't know if he likes the mud or not, because, you know, it's California. It doesn't rain a lot in California, especially Southern California, like the old song says. So that's going to be the question with him. But Cole Battle is the best story, because his trainer, Lonnie Briley, never had a horse like this in his life. He's been a trainer for like 25 years, knocking around at small tracks in Louisiana like Evangeline Downs and Delta Downs. And his horse, Cole Battle, that's where his first race was Evangeline Downs. Won in the mud, won his maiden special weight in the mud, broke his maiden there, has come to Arkansas and run really well, as a long shot won the Street Sense, as a long shot won the Rebel Stakes, which is the second biggest prep race out there, was third in the Arkansas Derby, but didn't run terribly. It just wasn't that good a race. He was third to Sandman and Publisher, who are both in this race as well. It's the interesting thing about this is we know it's going to be a hot pace even without Rodriguez. We just don't know how hot it's going to be. Journalism has got the perfect setup. He's drawn in, and he's going to be in post seven because he's going to come in one because of where Rodriguez was drawn. And he's got a lot of speed horses inside of him, so he'll be able to sit the perfect trip, you know, 3-4 lengths behind the speed. And he figures to be way ahead of the other really good closers, Sovereignty and Sandman. Sandman won the Arkansas Derby. And that's going to be their problem is how are they going to get by journalism if journalism is running well at all and he's, you know, 6-7 lengths ahead of them, because they're drawn way outside. Sandman's in 17, or it's going to be 16 now. Sovereignty's in post 17. And they got to drop all the way over and then try to run through the field and come through the field when the pace starts to heat up and the front runners start to tire. So that's the difficulty for them, which is kind of why I'm against them. But this situation with a potentially sloppy track kind of makes it a dart throw a little bit as to who's going to actually win this thing.
It's going to be fun. It's always a fun race, and you don't have to turn in the card yet. You're allowed to wait and feel this out here, which sounds like you're gonna need every minute you can get.
Yeah, no, I am. I'd like to play the Oaks Derby double. That's always a kind of a fun little bet, because usually it's for $1. And what I like to do usually is take a stand on one side or the other, and then have like 5 or 6 horses in the one race, so that if there's a horse you really like and you get it home in the one race, you've got 5 or 6 ways to win in the other. It's a little tough this year because before I heard it was going to rain like crazy, I was like, all right, I'll take a stand with journalism, who's the best horse and who's, you know, who I think's going to win, who I felt like had the best setup. And even though the big favorite in the Oaks is a shorter price, Good Cheer, 6-for-6, I was going to take the idea, okay, Good Cheer's the best horse, but she's probably reached her peak and doesn't have a lot more upside than some of these other fillies, like Take Charge Milady and the Virginia Oaks winner Fondly and Quiet Side and some of these other ones. They might have a big jump up in them, and they could be a they could be trouble for her. And now I don't know if I can do that, but the Oaks is interesting because all the really good fillies have taken turns beating each other except Good Cheer. Like, none of them have beat Good Cheer. Everybody's beat everybody else, and that's and so it's it. If Good Cheer runs her best race, she's going to be hard to beat. Of course, then again, if it starts raining at 5 o'clock and they have rain for an hour and it's mud, or it's even a little bit off and not fast, then that one kind of goes. That one could be anybody's guess.
It's all up in the air. I like the Oaks Derby double too. You get a couple days. You get a couple of rooting interests. Any other races you got your eye on this weekend?
Yes, the undercard on Friday might be the best undercard ever because you have Torpedo Anna, the horse of the year, the great filly from last year. She's running against other fillies, probably maybe for the last time. I don't know, in the La Troyenne. And she's probably going to kill them all again because she's just that good. And then maybe after that, she's going to start competing against the boys in these classic division races and pointing herself for the Breeders' Cup Classic. That's what I hope, anyway. And then you have on Friday as well, you have the return of Fierceness, who was the morning line favorite in the Derby last year, second in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He's making his return, and he's running against the sort of it older horse that's going around right now by the name of Locked, who missed most of last year. He looked really good at 2 years old, Locked, and then he had an injury and didn't run until October of last year, and then has won every race he's won in since. This is the Ali Sheba for older horses. So you've got Locked and Fierceness going up against each other. You know, that they could be battling all year, and hopefully battling Torpedo Anna in the classic division, and we could have some great races in the summer. So keep your eye on those two. Normally, I'd say the turf races are really great on the Saturday that they have on the other card of the Derby, but I don't know what's going to happen to them if they get a bunch of rain. Some of them, you know, they probably can't run all of them on the turf, and some of them might have to come off the track and be run on the dirt. And that'll decimate the fields, and they won't be as good, unfortunately.
Yeah, we'll see what they do with the schedule, too, and how they move things around, which is always its own battle. George, got another minute with you. Anything else you want to share on the Derby?
Well, just to say this, that at least on the when it comes to the new prep races at Colonial Downs, I think the Virginia Oaks may end up emerging as a key prep for the Kentucky Oaks this year. The Virginia Derby probably a little less so, but I think as time goes on, we're going to see more and more owners, big name owners and horse trainers and jockeys, you know, playing at Colonial Downs and trying to get into that, trying to use that race as a nice springboard, because with the 50 points, that pretty much gets you in if you win that race. And I think I'm hoping in the next few years that the Virginia Derby will end up being a key prep now that it's on dirt and it's in March and it's going to be part of this series of races that prep for the Kentucky Derby.
It's going to be fun. It's fast 2 minutes in sports. George, thanks for joining us, breaking it down. Always great to hear from you.
Good. Thank you very much for having me on. Have a good rest of the day.
All right. Let's go racing. Love it. We're back after this. You're listening to 910 The Fan at 105.1 FM.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.